Following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
All right, good morning again, everybody. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. It's good to be home. Most of you, probably all of you know that I was away for a week in Denver at our midwinter pastors conference that our denomination puts on every winter. And when they move it around, sometimes it's Chicago, sometimes it's other places. This time it was Denver, which was wonderful because it was sunny. And it was like 70 degrees, which is, what is that, that's 20-ish Celsius. So it was incredible. The day we got there, there wasn't a whole lot planned leading up to it. And me and a good buddy of mine from Minnesota, so he's even used to colder, sat out in the sun and got sunburned and had to deal with that the rest of the week. But that's not a bad thing for a midwinter conference. So, but it's great to be home. It was a time of speakers. We heard some really incredible speakers. There was great worship. It was a chance to have like really cool conversations with colleagues. And those conversations have gotten deeper and deeper year after year as each of us have grown in ministry. And as we continue to seek after God's desires for us and for our congregations and our various ministries. It's a really uplifting week, but it's also an exhausting week. Erica will attest to the fact that I usually come home a little bit sick from it because I just don't want to stop talking with friends, and so end up not getting a ton of sleep, but it's worth it, I think. And the neat part about this, or one of the really neat parts about this week, was that it feels like family almost every year because it is my kind of extended church family. I was born into the Covenant Church, but this year my dad was actually there. He hasn't been to one of these conferences in 10 plus years, and so it was really neat for he and I to get to listen to speakers and just in totally different areas and seasons in ministry and get to talk about that and what that looks like, and me to learn from some of his wisdom in ministry, and him to learn from some of my enthusiasm and joy in ministry. It was really, really neat. And then the Sunday after that was really cool. Erica and I had the joy to go down to Seattle. It's pretty rare that as a pastor I get to go and be a worshiper at other services. So that by itself was really nice. We went to First Covenant Church in Seattle. But even more special is we got to be a part of the baptism for Etta and Anna Johnson, where Erica and I are actually Etta's godparents, which is a really neat thing. And Etta and Anna, for those of you who knew and know Albert and Anna, would be their great-granddaughters, Ron and Joan's granddaughters, Sherry and Adam's daughters, great friends of ours, and just really neat to be a part of what God is doing in their lives and in their families, and to worship with them. And it feels like extended family, which is a neat thing for Erica and I being so far away from our real extended family. But it's good to be back here with our church family. And now that I've said it, I don't know, half a dozen, maybe a dozen times, you may have guessed, or maybe you remembered minutes ago or hours ago, or when I said it weeks ago, that today we're going to take a little break from our 10 Healthy Missional Marker series, and we're going to focus on the fact that this is a holiday weekend. Tomorrow is Family Day. And for those of you who are thinking, what is Family Day? I don't know, because it's 3 years old. Family Day arrived in BC just about when I got here. So for me, it's always been a BC tradition. But it's a great opportunity, and we've been doing this kind of throughout the year, speaking to and looking for what God has to say about specific holidays. And then being able to look at them in maybe a little different way, so that as we have conversations, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe on Tuesday, when we go back to work and back to school, we can talk about, oh, well, here's what I've been thinking about. Here's what God has been saying to me about Family Day. Here is this neat little thing that kind of switched the holiday from just a day off of school or of work, but to something that we really focus on. And what's neat is that the idea of family, obviously, is a really important one. And so we're going to spend some time in that today. But we're going to focus more on the idea of the broader Christian family and also our church family. Because it really, I believe, helps us understand one another better. Helps us understand our Creator, God, better. And His dreams for us. And so maybe this becomes a new kind of Family Day tradition. Maybe just like Christmas and Easter, we read a similar passage year after year and let that resonate with who we are as a church family and who each one of us is in God's eyes and who we are as a part of the body of Christ. So today we're going to look at a very familiar passage from 1 Corinthians. And we're also going to take a look at a video after that, which for me has been an incredible story illustrating the broader Christian family that we are a part of. So I'd invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians 12 now, and we're going to be starting in verse 12 in your Bibles, Bible apps, etc. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, please raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be happy to bring you one, either for today or to keep. It's one of the great joys of our congregation to give the Word of God to those who desire it. So as we're turning there, let me pray for us, and we can dive into God's Word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of today. God, we ask you that this morning you open our eyes and our ears to the ways that you are moving in and through us, and for the ways that you are calling us to follow your Son, Jesus. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Like I said, it's a familiar passage for us as a church. So familiar, in fact, that I preached it last May. And I'm sure you all remember exactly what that sermon was about. You could probably repeat it back to me verbatim, and we could just leave right now. Right? Oh, yep, all right. Sharon, come on up here, and we'll give it a go. Back in May, I was looking at the passage through the lens of commitment. And we'll touch on that briefly today. But more so, we're going to look at the truth that we each need one another as we seek to be the whole body of Christ. Before I get going too much, because I could probably just get into it, I want us to take a look at this video. This is a video, actually, that Jake sent me. The speaker is a man, a musician named Wintley Phipps. And he is incredibly dynamic. He's got a wonderful story. And I'm not going to keep telling you about it. I'll just show it to you because that'll speak much better.
Wintley Phipps is the president of the U.S. Dream Academy, an organization for children of prisoners. Many of these young people have been left behind in their schoolwork, and Wintley and this fine organization is making a difference.
This has been an awesome night, isn't everyone? How many of you like Negro spirituals? An old black lady down south showed me something about the Negro spirituals, and I want to share it with you. You know, the black folk down south had more sense by accident than some of us have on purpose, you know what I mean? You didn't hear what I said. I heard an old black lady say, "Son, if the mountain was smooth, you couldn't climb it." Think about that. But did you know, she said to me, "Did you know just about all Negro spirituals are written on the black notes of the piano?" This is absolutely true. You can go home tonight and play almost any Negro spiritual, just play the black notes on the piano. You look skeptical. Now, you can't see it out there, but I want you to watch. Watch. There are 5 black notes on the piano. And those same 5 black notes just keep recurring. Go home tonight and play almost any Negro spiritual. Just play the black notes. Watch. You know that? Every time I feel the spirit, just black notes. Watch this. That's because the slaves didn't come to America with do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, di, do. That's somebody else's scale, okay? All they had in their musical scale were those 5 black notes. We know it in music as the pentatonic scale. And they built the power and pathos of the Negro spiritual on 5 notes. When you study music, you also come across what are known as white spirituals. Did you know that? And they are white composers who work with that scale. In early America, they used to call this the slave scale. And I'm going to play for you what some musicologists think is the most famous white spiritual built on the slave scale or just the black notes. Anybody tonight know who wrote that song? I heard it, a man by the name of John Newton. But do you know what John Newton did before he became a Christian? He was the captain of a slave ship. And many believe heard this melody that sounds very much like a West African sorrow chant, and wrote the words "Amazing Grace" and set his words to a slave melody. I looked up that song. I believe God wanted that song written just the way it was written, just so that we would be reminded that as Christians, whether black or white, free or bond, in his eyes, we're all connected. We are connected. And we are connected by God's amazing grace. that song in the Library of Congress. I went to the Library of Congress, I looked up that song, and wherever you see it authentically printed, you know what it says? Words, John Newton. Melody, unknown. I tell the Lord, when I get to heaven, I want to meet Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but boy, I want to meet that slave called unknown. And I recorded that song the way I hear it. When I sing it, I still hear the sounds of the slave ships in the water. I want to sing it for you the way John Newton probably first heard it, coming up out of the belly of the ship. Listen.
Can sing. Yeah, there's an understatement, huh? The words of that song, of Amazing Grace, were written by John Newton, the captain of a slave ship. And then he set those words to a slave song. Whitley Phipps said, "I believe that God wanted that song written just the way it was written. So we would be reminded that as Christians, whether black or white, free or bonded, in his eyes, we're all connected. We are all connected by God's amazing grace. We are connected by God's amazing grace. This is just a magnificent example of the fullness of the body of Christ, an example of the way that we need each other, that we as Christians, we as God's people, we all as children of God are better when we're together, better when we can see and hear and embrace the differences that we have and we experience in one another. Better when we can welcome the beauty of that which is different from us as the creation of God. I wholeheartedly agree with Wintley Phipps that this song, Amazing Grace, was written just how God wanted it written. Words by a former slave ship captain who found Jesus, and the music by Unknown, a traditional slave song. And alone, each of those things are wonderful. They're beautiful, aren't they? The words to Amazing Grace by themselves are beautiful, strong, impactful words. And the tune is just hauntingly beautiful. It's one of those tunes that just resonates inside of me. Alone, there's beauty, certainly, but together, just wow. Together, it becomes the song that has impacted people for hundreds of years. The tune means more, and the words take on a whole new dimension, a new fullness, and a new depth. How much better is it when you bring those two together? It becomes whole, doesn't it? And that's what I read Paul saying in his letter to the Corinthians too, that as the body of Christ, we are not only better together, we actually need one another to be complete. Without the person that is sitting on your right or on your left, in front of you or behind you, we as a church family, we as the body of Christ, are incomplete. It's something I know that we hear all the time, that each of us is important to the body of Christ. But I want us to let that sink in just a little bit. Without you, without each and every one of you, the body is incomplete. Without that person sitting next to you, the body is incomplete. Our family is lacking without you. That doesn't mean it's not beautiful or special or impactful, but it's incomplete. I want to try something, and I think with as talky as you were before, that bodes well. If you remember back to last May, I mentioned that one of the things that I really love about this passage is that there's sort of a natural team-building devotional that you can do alongside it, where we read the passage together and then ask folks to get up and stand where they see themselves as part of the body of Christ. At the head, you know, they're the thinkers, they're the brain, the eyes, they can kind of see everything going on, the heart, they really care for people, the hands, they love to serve, the feet, etc., etc., etc. And then the important natural follow-up question of why. Why did those people go stand in those places? We're not really equipped to get folks moving around and to make the giant body here and to get everyone, you know, stood up and move chairs and stuff. And we don't really have that time to go through and ask everyone, at least not now. But we do have time for you to turn to your neighbor. That's right. This is where we're trying something. To turn to your neighbor and to share where you see yourself as part of the body of Christ. Where you see yourself as part of this church family and why. I'll give you time in just a second, but let me give you this little nudge before we do it. One of the most profound things that one of the speakers at Midwinter told us, and it was, I'm sure, just a passing thing for her, but it has continued to resonate with me almost daily. it was a moment just like this. She had talked about something really great and wanted people to help one another unpack it and reflect on what she had said. And so she says, you know, turn and share with your neighbor. And then she said, for those of you who are introverts, the best words you could hear, but if you really don't want to, or if it makes you uncomfortable, which at that point I was trying to act like an introvert and was like, yeah, okay, I don't have to do this. But she continued, but if you really don't want to, or if it makes you uncomfortable, tough. Tough. Do it for the person sitting next to you. It's not all about you. So with that same nudge, I'll give you a little bit of time. Turn to that person, scoot down a row, whatever you need to do. Kristen, I'm looking at you, you're by yourself. And share with one another where you see yourself as part of the body of Christ and why. I'll give you a couple minutes. All right, I know that you're still continuing with that, but I'm going to cut you off and encourage you to finish sharing after our service, and then share with other people that you weren't sitting near. I'm proud of you. I really am. There was way more talking than I expected. I was nervous when I wrote that in here. I was like, I don't know. Well done. Thank you. So the point that this speaker was making, whether she intended to make this point or not, was that coming to church is not all about you. It's not all about me. Sometimes you're here for you. But other times, recognize and realize that maybe you're here for the person sitting next to you. Maybe you're here for the person that you greet before or after the service, the person that you share today's message with, hoping, the person you pray with. As a family, as a church family, sometimes we're here for one another, even when it's uncomfortable or inconvenient or just hard. Because just as Paul writes to the Corinthians, we are all part of the one body. We need each other. There's no getting away from that. We can't escape the fact that we need one another. So I'd encourage you to embrace the opportunities that you get to know other parts of this body. If you're an eye, find a nose and learn how the world is experienced through smell. If you're an ear, find a hand and learn how to reach out and touch someone in a different way. Every single part of this body is important. And we only get fuller, wholer, as new parts are added to that body. Again, embrace those opportunities to get to know the other parts of this body. We need each other. We're all part of the one body. Lord of creation, creator of each and every one of us, creator of those things that set us apart, that make each of us unique, God, help us to remember those uniquenesses in not only ourselves, but in all. Allow us to see through the eyes of others, to walk with the feet of others, and to learn more fully through relationship with others how beautiful and diverse and intricate all of your creation truly is. God, you are amazing. Thank you. And we pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who you sent for us, for each and every one of us. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.